The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hand grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning to evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people standing around you from morning to evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and so God so commands you, you'll be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said.
Good morning, welcome. I'm Peter Dowman, a happily retired minister, filling in for Sylvia, who's away on holiday. Sylvia and David are in Scotland on a golfing tour. Sounds like an awful lot of walking to me, and well, they're welcome to it, really. Have any of you been away to France in the summer? Yeah, a few hands, yes. And one of the things you can do in France on a dull day is go inside one of their very dull old churches, very quaint they are. And I've had a report from somebody who went to a church in France, and it's a very secular, quite godless country since their revolution hundreds of years ago. There's said to be more witches in France than there are Catholic priests. Someone saw this sign, though, in a French church recently, and this is the translation. "When you enter this church, it may be possible that you hear the call of God. However, it's unlikely that he'll call you on your mobile phone, so please turn it off. If you want to talk to God, choose a quiet place and talk to him. If you want to see God, send him a text while driving." Will you pray with me? Thank you that you've drawn us together at CSK. Thank you that you've drawn us together today. Thank you that Sylvia is on holiday and able to look forward to her extended study leave soon. Please support Rachel and the other members of our leadership team. Help us to focus on you while we're here, not what might come through on our phone. Help us to hear you speaking to our hearts, to hear you call to us. Help us to find a quiet space in our lives to have that conversation with you, to turn that corner, to see things in a new light. Help us to see you today in our hearts, in our families, in our church, and in our community. We ask in the name of Jesus and ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us to make it possible. Amen. Well, amen. Here's a horrid picture. I've got a terrible picture to show you. It's not a picture that God's given me in that spiritual sense. It's not a word from the Lord, neither of knowledge nor prophecy. I saw the picture on Facebook. But I can see myself in the picture, preaching my last sermon while I was still working as a vicar. The taxi's outside ready to take me away, and all my boxes are packed. A minister is needing to leave his post because it's all become too much, like it did for me. The title of today's talk, which I was given, was Support. And I knew in my heart that it needed to be about supporting our vicar, supporting Sylvia, as she leads us at CSK, as she steers us forward, as she seeks to shape us under God, as she seeks to release all of us so we can reach our full potential, as she seeks to release us as God's people here in Hampton to do his work. We all know that Sylvia has the vision and the passion. We know that she works really, really hard and prays and studies the Bible even harder. She's God's woman for us here and now, for Hampton now. And we need to support her in all of that. But we can be stubborn people. And so I'm sure Sylvia finds herself under pressure. Active Christians often find themselves under pressure. And yes, I am, without her permission, taking advantage of Sylvia being away to say this to you today. But I bet she's going to come home and listen to it on the CSK website. So, Sylvia, please forgive me. I'm saying this from my heart. Moses always seemed to be under pressure once he'd signed up to the challenge at the burning bush. He went to a stubborn Pharaoh, but Pharaoh didn't let them go. And there's a little refrain at the bottom. You can join in the bold part. They were a people slow to learn and trust. There was an army behind him and the sea in front of him. But God got them across the sea and got rid of the army. But they are a people slow to learn and trust. They had no food, but they were a hungry nation. So God fed them. But they are a people slow to learn and trust. There was no water for God's people to drink, but God provided. But they were a people slow and learned to trust. It was always the same for Moses. He was showing and explaining a faithful God, but the people were slow and people were slow to learn and trust. And the people Moses was leading were part of the problem. And they didn't get that. They kept on having evidence of what they'd seen God do in the past and even in the present. They didn't see, though, that that was a basis to believe in God and that he would act now and in the future. Let's look at some of the words in our reading. There may have been exiles fleeing Egypt, but to the Amalekites, whose land they were now in, they were invaders. And so the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites. It's hard to blame them, but God only wanted his people to pass through their land, but the Amalekites attacked them. God's plans are often attacked, and we shouldn't be surprised when that happens. In this case, an armed response was needed. You need to realize this was in the Old Testament when an armed response was okay. But not every person could physically fight for God's plan. So Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men to go out and fight. So only some of the men went out with Joshua to fight. Guess what everyone else was expected to do? They were expected to stay behind and pray hard. And it's the same today. Those who'd be helpless at helping Toby with the youth work shouldn't do it, but they should pray. Those who God is calling to help Toby with the youth work should do it. You might want to pray about your response. If I'm hitting the spot in your head, is God calling you to help with the youth work? Those whom God calls, he will equip. Toby is under pressure. Pray that he is supported. We called him to come and work at CSK. Help him if God is calling you, and pray for him and the youth work if God isn't actually calling you to get involved. And I could use the same example of Joy and as the children and families work. I could use Rachel as an example, but I can't think of a word for everything she does. I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God. The staff of God was just an ordinary walking stick. This is $4.75 on Amazon if you need one. I'll stand on the hill with the staff of God. And this staff keeps popping up in the account in Exodus. Rachel mentioned it last week. I wasn't here, but I listened to it online. And can I encourage you, if you're not here for a sermon on a Sunday, that you do indeed listen to it online, because it keeps the continuity going. You don't want to miss out something that's special for you. Whenever the staff of God is mentioned, God does something to or through it. It has no power of its own, but God expresses power through it. It was to be held over the battle, and the people were to expect God to act. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. So why did those three go to the top of the hill? Did they go just to watch the battle? Or did they go to be seen by Joshua and the fighting men? Well, they went to be seen, to know that Moses and others were praying, caring about the outcome, to see the staff of God and to recall God's power recently demonstrated. Recent things that God had done were still in their minds. And not just Moses, not just the leader, but others supporting, being at one with the leader. Seeing the battle, they could respond to the needs that they could see. It's much easier to pray if you know what's going on. So try not to be just interested in the bits of CSK that you are part of, that you enjoy, that affect you, but try to be interested in all that goes on in CSK so that you can indeed pray for all of the ministry that's going on. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever Moses lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. What a demonstration of prayer and of recent memory of God's power. Now, you might have forgotten that Moses was 80 years old at the time of the burning bush. Hands up if you're over 80 years old. If they're asleep, wake them up. Go on, yeah, yeah. Give them a round of applause for being so old. Now, how long could one of those lovely people hold the staff above their head? It would be quite tiring because they're quite heavy. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. I'm not going to demonstrate that in case I fall over. An obvious practical necessity and kindness for somebody well over 80. But it wasn't enough. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. If we're called to help, we're not called to help when it's convenient, when we remember, but we're told to help all the time our help is needed, for as long as it takes. And this day, it took all day. But it was worth it. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Aaron and Hur didn't do it for money or reward of any kind. They did it because they could see that it needed doing. If we see something that needs doing and we're able to do it, surely we should do it. Now, Sylvia doesn't have an Aaron or a Hur, but she does have a Solly Robinson and a Nigel Double. I don't know which is which. Well, I do know which is which, but I don't know which is Aaron and which is Hur. And alongside Sylvia, they too are under pressure. And we need to pray for them as they stand alongside our vicar, sometimes having to hold her arms up, not because she's 80 years old, but because she gives God and CSK her all. I love my father-in-law, says the mug. Well, there are four or six people, maybe, who could buy me one of these mugs. You see, life can be a bit messy, the counting gets difficult. None of them have yet bought me this mug. Ah. Listen to this amazing verse. It was the first verse, well, it's one of the verses in the reading. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. I think that's amazing. You might like to discuss that over Sunday lunch. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. What would your life be like if you did that? A few weeks ago, when I was introducing this series on Moses, I asked, what did Moses know about faith? And pointed out what Paul Daniels would have said. And if you can remember, you can say, not a lot. But not a lot turned out to be enough. Not a lot turned out to be enough. I also said of Moses, of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, that he was a pagan priest. Well, pagan priest he may have been, but he heard about the defeat of the Amalekites. He heard about the escape from Egypt. He heard about the Red Sea crossing, and he came to visit Moses. News travelled well even then. And then there was a conversation which we didn't actually have read out to us, but is a really important conversation. He said, praise to the Lord who rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the land of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to Moses. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. So I would say that by this time, Moses
was a former pagan priest. I hoped he handed in his resignation when he returned to his home. Indeed, it would have been great if he'd started telling other people about the one true God of Moses. And that little bit of conversation, what Jethro said in that, look, he acknowledged that God was the one and only God. He confessed that and he turned to worship God. He was well on the way to faith. His life was changed. His little g God had now been replaced by a big G God. That big G God had clearly and visibly acted to help people, and Jethro had come to worship him. The main part of our second portion of scripture deals with the daily task of keeping order in a big community. And amazingly, Jethro had some good advice. He was new to the faith community, but he had good advice on day one. It makes me sick when that happens. I've been a faithful Christian for 50 years, and I rarely have any good ideas. And this Johnny-come-lately comes along on day one, has a good idea, and gets it heard. Based on Exodus chapter 12 and verse 37, Dr. Google tells me that 600,000 men passed through the Red Sea, plus the women and the children. Now, that was a pretty big community, and it appears from a passage we read today that Moses was the one and only judge in that community. Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law, Jethro, saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge while all these other people stand around you from morning till evening?" Well, Moses thought, indeed they all thought, that only Moses had God's ear. Only Moses had the knowledge, insight, or experience to judge on God's behalf. But Jethro, who was new to this faith community, and only passing through anyway, questioned that assumption. "Why do you, Moses, alone sit as judge, while all these people around you stand around from morning till evening?" Put in other words, he might say, "This will surely wear you out. This will drive you nuts. You'll burn out. There's not enough hours in the day. There are other important things you need to do." Well, it's like that in the vicarage. Moses wasn't quite ready to give in, though. Moses answered Jethro, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." And Jethro said, in effect, "Why? What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you." In the early church, the apostles had the same issues and appointed deacons to act on behalf of the apostles over the disbursement, the giving out of funds for widows, you may remember. At CSK, we too have the same issues. Too many issues pile up at the vicarage door. Though we do have several helpers here, more of that later. Unlike Moses, Sylvia doesn't have 600,000 men plus all the women and children, but there will be 26,000 here in Hampton when it's fully built. I'll just repeat that number, 26,000. That's about twice as many people who live in Hampton now. That would suggest that the congregation here will at least double, more than double, as will the pastoral work, as will the schools work, as will the youth work and everything else. The pile-up might appear at the vicarage door. Jethro said, "You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way to live and how they are to behave." That's why Sylvia ensures there'll be relevant and helpful teaching Sunday by Sunday here at CSK. That's why we have a network of different style small groups for learning and serving together. That's why we put on courses and training opportunities from time to time. Sylvia wants, Sylvia needs, God wants to train most of us to play our part in helping her and her successors to become effective as God's people here in this place. We're all different. We all have a different part to play. God's clearly got a future because he's arranged for this parcel of land to be available to us. So there is a future at CSK. Jethro advises, "Select capable men and today we'd say and women, but Jethro wasn't that forward-thinking. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. That would be great, wouldn't it? Can you imagine Sylvia, our vicar, having to divide us into groups of thousands? Well, I can certainly imagine her dividing us into groups of hundreds and fifties and tens. Sylvia could do that now, the hundreds at least. Let them, the people called by God, identified by Sylvia and other church leaders, be trained and equipped by the Holy Spirit and released to serve. Let them serve as judges for the people at all times. We don't mean judging in the legal sense, but in the partial sense, in the supporting sense, in the teaching sense, in all sorts of senses. Let them bring every difficult case to you, Moses. The vicar's still the vicar. The buck still stops there. She is the most highly trained amongst us. But the simple cases, they can decide for themselves. You'll find that will help, said Jethro. That will make your load lighter because they'll share it with you. And if you do this, and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain. If you do this, and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. So what might God call and equip you to do? Can you hear his voice? Do you sense his presence? Will you continue this conversation with God and maybe with another church leader to find out what God may be preparing for you? You may be called just to stay at home and pray. You may be called to be like Tony, an eternal young person. Toby, an eternal young person. But talk to God about what his calling for you is. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. As far as I can tell, that father-in-law, Jethro, was never heard of in the story again. Will you pray with me? It's the prayer we used earlier. Thank you, Lord, that you've drawn us together at CSK. Thank you that you've drawn us together today. Thank you that Sylvia is having a holiday and able to look forward to her extended study leave soon. Please support Rachel and the other members of our leadership team. Help us to focus on you while we're here, not on what might be coming through on our phone. Help us to hear you speaking to our hearts, to hear you call to us. Help us to find a quiet space in our lives to have that conversation, to turn that corner, to see things in your new light. Help us to see you today in our hearts, in our families, in our church and in our community. We ask it in the name of Jesus and ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us to make it possible. Amen.